You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up.
Welcome into Coast to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
And we are back for another episode here on the A-Stream. Xander, how are you doing today?
Oh, you know, woke up at 6 o'clock. Actually, more like 6:30. Didn't have my coffee, so, you know, just trying to get the juices flowing right now. You know, as college students, you know, we're very sleep deprived. So
I get it. It is 7:30 here in the morning on Central Time. It is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. We got a big show, pretty good show today lined up for you. Got a Mizzou basketball. We'll start off with, we'll get into some women's college. Well, we had a big fight in the SEC title game. We'll break down that for the women's tournament. We'll see who won all of their women's conference tournaments to see who has been locked into the NCAA tournament as the men start their tournaments this week. Everyone has Selection Sunday next Sunday, so no matter if it's men or women, the 17th, both divisions will find out who they play, if they made the tournament, who they will play, where they will play. And then we'll talk a little soccer, break down the U.S. women's national team and their CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament. We'll talk a little MLS, see what's going on there, how some teams are doing. We'll bring up some Mizzou football. Mizzou's got a new quarterback, so we'll break down that with, you know, get everything into him, see what we think about him. I'm not too familiar with him yet, but, you know, I better start getting used to him because we're going to hear his name for the next few years or so. And then we're going to bring up our free agent frenzy as the NFL went wild yesterday. And I mean, they went wild. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. But, you know, we'll start out with Mizzou basketball because, you know, we have to. As disappointing as it is. Yeah, we're just not going to do it. Do you want me to do it?
Go ahead. You know, I feel like it's well-deserved at this point.
All right, I'll do it.
Yep.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
This is just the theme song now of the Mizzou basketball season. Just absolutely tragic.
Well, I played Dennis Gates' post-game press conference with his comments on the team.
I saw that. Yeah.
I won't do that today. first off, congratulations, Sean East, SEC Men's Basketball Scholar Athlete of the Year. Literally kind of means nothing to the game of basketball, but hey, good job getting an award in the SEC representing the Missouri Tigers.
I mean, is that kind of just like, hey, you did good in school?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, you are an A-plus student, and you play basketball. Good job.
At least someone made it on there. Congratulations, Sean East.
Someone's representing Mizzou somewhat good, at least.
And I will say, I feel like if there was a most improved player of the year, he for sure should be in that conversation.
Oh, I agree.
You know, put up like 17, I think, averaged about 17 points this season. Only averaged about 8 or 10 points last year, so definitely stepped up, but good job there from Sean East, and practically the only positive from this season.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best player on the team, I believe, all season long. Him and Tamar were the two best players on the team. They scored the most for everybody, and, you know, if you had to rank them, it'd be, in my opinion, it's Sean East first, Tamar Bates second, and then Noah Carter third. Do you see any difference there?
It just sounds like a bunch of inconsistencies right there. The fact that you have to rank Noah Carter. I mean, absolutely no disrespect to Noah Carter or anything. He's a great person and all, but ranking him, having to like put him in as like one of our best players is like kind of crazy to say because no one is really that good.
Another player that I think that played really well this year was Jordan Butler. He played, I mean, he had his moments.
I mean, yeah.
As well did Aiden Shaw. So,
yeah.
Who I hate to do this. Who do you think was the worst Mizzou player of the basketball season?
Oh, man. There's so many. Let's see here. Connor Vanover.
Vanover.
I'm going Vanover. I'm so sorry.
I'm with you.
I think every time.
No disrespect, but like it just the inconsistency on the floor, and you couldn't trust him to play defense.
Every time that dude stepped on the court, the game was over.
Exactly. So we'll look at a little bit of the recaps of some of these games here. The first game we'll recap is against Auburn. That's the game we previewed last time we were on air here. Man, was that a bloodbath? Did you end up going to that game?
I did.
Okay.
So I did. It was senior night.
And you got to see that live. The massacre of the Tigers.
I mean, here, listen. I mean, it's practically every game, it's the same script. They go in. They're only down by five. They were only down by five at half. There were a few questionable calls from the refs. A lot of people were mad. And then just an absolute second half collapse happened, and they dropped 100 on us.
Oh, yeah. Final score was 101-74. Auburn was the 13th ranked team in the country at the time. I mean, it was 44-39 at halftime, and we all thought, you know what? We're not down by that much. We may be losing, but we got a shot. And boy, were we wrong. that was bad.
It was definitely very not what you really wanted to see.
Not at all. Sean East had 21. Tamar Bates had 12. Nick Honor, 11. Jordan Butler with 4. Aiden Shaw with 7. Trent Pierce, nothing. Jesus Carrillero, 5. Noah Carter had 6. Majak had 2. Francois played.
Yeah, he came in the last minute, and it was actually really, really funny to see him come in because, let's be honest, that might be the last time we ever see him play.
Because I saw him in an Arizona shirt the other day with his mom.
Yeah, I just have the feeling he's just because his mom is at, you know, Francois's at Arizona.
I wouldn't blame him for leaving.
I mean, and listen, he'd be joining a way better, I mean, I don't want to say
a national championship contender.
Yeah, basically, maybe. Arizona. Maybe. If they don't completely collapse like they did last season, play Princeton again.
Exactly.
I mean, Arizona and Mizzou had trouble with Princeton, so.
They sure did. We'll see if they get back into the tournament or not. I think
they should.
They're the number one seed in the Ivy League.
Yeah, as of right now, actually, I looked at the CBS March Madness bracket. They would be playing number 6 San Diego State right now. So now my team might actually have to put up with Princeton.
Uh-oh.
So I'm nervous. I'll be a little nervous.
Yeah, that I would be a little nervous as well there. We both know the feeling of having to play Princeton. It wasn't great, but hey. The Aztecs win over the weekend. Did they play well? Did they win?
It was a bad week. They suffered 2 losses against a really good UNLV team. Came out of nowhere this season. Just went on a crazy 8-game win streak. Had to play them at their place.
Okay.
Lost by 4.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little shot to with like 5 seconds to tie the game, and absolutely got blocked by the 3. And then we ended up losing in overtime to Boise State. So it was a rough, rough week. But that's what you get when you play in the Mountain West now. Like 7 teams in the Mountain West might be in March Madness this year. So
there you go.
We're
that's a good
representing.
Yeah, it's a good change for the Mountain West. Get a lot of those teams in there. You know, you want a lot of like diversity. You want a bunch of different teams in there to show off conferences. And there's a lot of strong conferences this year, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for the tournament. We'll get into more of that in a minute
because
I want to keep talking about the rest of the Mizzou season, and then we can get rid of talking about Mizzou and start talking top 25 basketball for a few minutes.
Good.
Exactly. Mizzou had their the regular season finale against LSU at LSU.
Shocker.
Yeah, they were winning at halftime. They
six.
They had the the glory of winning by 6 at halftime.
Biggest lead I've seen.
Ended up losing by 4. 84-80 was the final score. Like I said, the game was in Baton Rouge, so neither of us got to go.
Nope.
I think we're both very glad we did not go. Box score as follows. Aiden Shaw with 2 points. Jordan Butler had nothing. Tamar Bates, 13. Sean East, 26. Nick Honor, 7. Boy, was he a disappointment this year.
Yeah. Most people were disappointed.
That dang photo, man. You took that dang photo
with Nick
Honor.
It's cursed.
You cursed him.
It is a curse. And I feel so bad because last year he came in as a guy off the bench and, man, he really helped out. He helped out the team, like, tremendously. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And so I was so excited to see what he could put up this year being a starter. I think after I took that picture, it was game over. He has not been hitting threes.
Trent Pierce, 7. Carolero had nothing. Noah Carter had 18. Majak had nothing. And Robinson had 7. So, you know, I think that's the story of Mizzou's season. And, you know, we've talked about this all year because you and I have to bring up Mizzou basketball a lot as sports anchors. So I think the thing with Mizzou basketball is really just it was a year full of underperforming players. And because, you know, I mean, we struggled all year long with the idea of you didn't have that role player. You didn't have a Kobe Brown. You didn't have a DeAndre Golson. You didn't have those, a Des Moines Hodge.
There was no depth on the team. That was the problem.
Another problem. The guys you tried to fill with depth didn't live up to their potential. I mean, Caleb Grill was out within, what, 2-3 games?
I believe it was actually more. It was after the Wichita State game in like early December.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Okay, so he played like the first season,
first month of the season, which is like what 6-7 games maybe, and then
Still can't believe we had not won since December 30th.
Yeah, well, guess what, Trey? They have one more game.
They get one more shot.
They got one more shot tomorrow. I think are we the late schedule game?
Yeah,
we're
the 8:30 game.
Oh my goodness!
So we're after I think Vanderbilt, Arkansas is the game before Mizzou. Mizzou will start their quest for the SEC title, which no one believes in. But hey, you never know. It's March and it's college basketball. Never know.
I was gonna say for the people that have. I mean, lost faith in the team. All I'm going to say is this is a very delusional statement, but don't come to the parade in March.
Yeah, the 8-23 Missouri Tigers, 0-18 in conference play, have the 14th seed in the SEC tournament. They are playing the 11th seed Georgia Bulldogs, 16-15 overall, and 6-12 in conference play. So they're about just over 500 on the year. Georgia was a decently pretty good team. I know last time that Mizzou played them.
That was early in January.
Yeah, it was early January.
I think it was our first SEC game of the year.
I believe it was.
And we were up by
a close game for a while.
We were winning that game till about the 5-minute mark.
Yeah, it was back in January when Mizzou was winning games, and then within 5 minutes of the end, they would somehow choke it and lose it.
If we didn't choke that game, I feel like the season would have gone way better.
I agree, and I think that's also why Mizzou has a 31% chance to win. It's not single digits. We are in the 30s, okay? I will give us credit for that. I mean, that'll be something to look at. You know, Georgia's averaging 75 points a game, which is 1.6 fewer than Missouri.
I got to say, I think it'll be closer than what people actually think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a complete like us playing like Tennessee or something like that where they should like beat the ever living crap out of us. But I do honestly think that it will be a close game, and I'm praying, man.
No, and I'm with you. I expect Mizzou to put up a fight. They may not win, but I expect them to give Georgia a scare. That's what they've done in most of their SEC games. They've given these teams a scare. They may not have been able to pull it out, but they at least scared them and made them work for their win. So, I mean, it's a shot.
Yeah.
You got a shot. So hopefully the Tigers take it. Hopefully they can pull out a win tomorrow night. I know I'll be on stage tomorrow night, so I will not actually be watching it. I'll have to like keep up with the game after it. But I think it's probably a blessing that I'm not watching it, so I do not have to get upset at a TV screen again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, my team plays. My team is the number one seed in the ACC tournament. We're chilling until Thursday.
Yeah, pretty much. But
maybe even Friday. I don't even know.
I don't know. Some it's either is it Fridays? Friday or Saturday?
Here you go. Do you think... Well, who do you think is going to win the SEC tournament is the first question.
Well, obviously, my dark horse is going to be... No, I'm kidding. that'd be absolutely ridiculous if I chose that. Just so you know, for Mizzou, the stage to get there is... Even if they made it past Georgia, they'd have to play Florida in the second round. And then if they were to make it past that in the quarterfinals, they would have to play Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So, a gauntlet of... Big teams that we lost to this season. So, yeah. But everyone in that division or everyone in that tournament we've lost to. So, no surprise there. But if I were to choose someone, my dark horse would either be Auburn.
Okay.
But my actual pick. Oh, no. You know what? No. My two dark horses would be Auburn and South Carolina, actually.
Okay.
Because South Carolina had a great season.
Yeah. I mean, their coach won SEC Coach of the Year.
That too. And, you know, when we were down there in South Carolina, they had a pretty good team. I mean...
Oh, it was a good team. All right.
It was a good team led by Lamont Paris. I'm going to go, though, with my pick. The good pick would probably be Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, they made it... They made it to the finals last year, I'm pretty sure, as well.
Yeah, I think they did.
Had to get past Mizzou to get there.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I go back and forth about all these teams of who could win, who's the best spot. I'd say if it's a dark horse team, you got to take it from second round. If you're a clear favorite, they're 1 through 4. For me, dark horse South Carolina. I think they are one of the best teams in the entire SEC. To win the whole thing, I could see Alabama doing it. They had a really good team last year. But if I had to pick a team to do it, give me Kentucky. You don't mess with Blue Bloods and...
No, and they did kind of just beat Tennessee, so...
Blue Bloods in March. You know, the Wildcats have a heck of a program. They've been good for a long time. I really expect them to do well... Again, but yeah, no, Tar Heels, noon, well, 11 a.m. here, Thursday, noon,
yeah, I was gonna say,
Eastern time. So.
Does the ACC also do the format with the first and second round, or do they just do a first round?
Yeah, they
round?
Do. So first round actually starts today.
Oh, okay.
And it is a 1 p.m. start of Notre Dame and Georgia Tech. For ACC basketball, they start today, and they go. Their championship game is
Saturday
night.
Usually, I think almost all the like big championship games are on Saturday.
Yeah, and I actually just pulled that up, so I actually can have us look at that. We're gonna look at this. I have the dates for all the conferences for so far for the men's tournament. Who have been. All the teams that have been locked in so far and when all the conference tournaments are set to finish and end. So the Moorhead State Eagles are going to the big dance. The Ohio Valley Conference champions, they beat Little Rock 69-55. Their ninth appearance in the tournament and first since 2021. My parents alum, the Longwood Lancers, have won the Big South.
Oh, so, well, there you go.
So the Longwood Lancers, good old Longwood.
Congrats to them.
We are cheering. I know my family is cheering for Longwood. Hopefully they'll do something. Hopefully they will not have an embarrassing first-round exit. They won 85-59 over UNC Asheville in their game. And then I know Buse was at this, the Missouri Valley Conference.
Arch Madness.
Yeah, Arch Madness. The Drake Bulldogs.
Again.
Yeah.
Man, I let me tell you, I feel so bad for Indiana State. I mean, I really do hope
they heck of a team this
I
year.
Really do hope they make it. I think they're, as of right now, they're barely hanging on. They're like the first four in. So
I believe so.
I'm going to hope that they don't knock them out because they deserve to be in it. And
yeah, they
you know,
do.
They have the good record, and it was such a good – it was a really good game. I really thought they were going to pull out a little comeback there at the end, and – fortunately, could not, but let me tell you, that was some March basketball right there.
It definitely was. Congrats to the Drake Bulldogs. We'll see if Indiana State's in. I believe they're in as of now, and Texas A&M is
correct.
Out, but Texas A&M has to win. So the more that the Aggies win, the closer they get to getting in.
So I will be rooting against the Aggies.
There you go. Yeah, and if you want to do that, they gotta. Let's see here. They you have to be rooting for Ole Miss.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, there you go. Next up, Atlantic Sun Conference, the Stetson Hatters, 94-91 over Austin Peay. Sun Belt, James Madison, first time in the tournament since 2013. JMU had a good football season. Now they're having a great basketball season. They won 91-71 over Arkansas State, who actually upset Appalachian State.
I don't know. Wasn't it a buzzer beater?
I believe it was.
I'm pretty sure it was a buzzer beater. I saw a notification for that.
Yeah.
It was just...
But get this, all right? The Southern Conference, the Samford Bulldogs... They won 76-69 over East Tennessee State. This is their third appearance in the tournament ever, the first time since the year 2000.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, 24 years.
Yeah, just since, you know, just
since,
you know,
Samford has made the
years.
Tournament. So congrats to Samford. The Horizon League will end tonight. They end today. Northeast Conference ends today. Coastal Athletic Association, the CAA, ends today. WCC ends today.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Summit League. And that's all for today. And then there's Big Sky, Southland, and Patriot League tomorrow. And then the rest end Saturday, except for, let's see here, five conferences. Five of them will end Sunday. So the five that end Sunday is the Ivy League.
Oh.
The Atlantic 10, the SEC, the AAC, and the Big 10.
Yeah, usually all those games, I'm pretty sure what happens is they play at like 10 or 11 o'clock or our time. And then as soon as those games end, like they're all like done and like posted.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go and tune in to CBS to watch the Sunday selection show.
Exactly.
So,
what's the Mountain West tournament?
Mountain West tournament. So they actually start tomorrow, Wednesday, first round.
Okay.
They do not do a first for a two round and then quarterfinal. They go one round and then they go right to quarterfinals.
So who does San Diego State play?
Unfortunately, we got to play UNLV again, okay. And the tournament is held at their home floor.
Okay.
But good news is, since it's a tournament, the other San Diego State fans will travel, so there will be a good mix of UNLV and San Diego State fans. So,
see, I know what you're hoping for. You're hoping that when you go home for spring break, there is a game close to San Diego so you can go see your Aztecs play.
I mean, here's the thing, is I'm already looking, and it's actually funny. Currently right now, like I said, they are a 6 seed against Princeton, and they would actually be playing in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
So if I were to actually stay here over spring break, which,
yeah, you could probably go.
Spoiler alert, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not.
It's only about 4 hours and 30 minutes away, so I would definitely be making that trip if I could. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think the closest they had was I don't think they're playing in Sacramento this year, so I don't know where they're playing in the West. I mean, we could look it up, but I mean, maybe Portland, but I don't know if I'm going to go all that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to talk Big 12 for a second.
That's fine.
KU, they're going to be without Hunter Dickinson. They have no Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough Jr. They're both out for the tournament. So, I don't know.
I think it's over.
I don't think they'll win.
No, they won't.
I mean, they have Houston. I mean, they have Houston in their
conference. Oh, Houston. Yeah, as of right now, Houston would easily roll them without.
That's what I'm saying.
When you don't have Dickinson or McCullough.
Well, spoiler alert for anybody who wants to go. Big 12 tournament is at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City.
Hey, that's pretty close. About a good 2-hour drive.
Yeah. So, Xander, if we're not doing anything Saturday or Sunday, and you want to go.
Well, I mean, yeah, but don't you got you got theater?
Yes, I'll be busy. But yeah. You know, hey, the final game is Saturday at 5:00.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, the tournament starts today for Big 12, UCF and Oklahoma State at 11:30 Central Time, Cincinnati and West Virginia at 2 p.m. Central Time. So my pick. Big 12, give me Baylor. They look really good. Baylor or Iowa State? I think Houston is beatable.
Oh, yeah. They are.
That's the funny thing about NCAA basketball this year. No one is invincible. Like, every team has lost.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. It's a weird division. It's honestly a weird division. You would think, because this year Kansas got a lot of high praise, and I got to tell you, I think for Kansas fans, I'm pretty sure most of them are probably like, wow, this is a underperforming season.
Do you see Arizona winning the Pac-12?
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually do see them. It's not going to be the easiest road, but I think they have the team to do it. And I mean, the roster looks fine. I mean, because you look at the Pac-12, I mean, who else is really going to – I mean, there are a few other teams in there that might put up a fight there in the Pac-12.
Oregon can do it.
Oregon, I mean
– maybe Colorado. I say the underrated team, the dark horse team to easily win is USC.
Yeah, they're always considered a dark horse.
Trust in Bronny James.
And Bron, and I don't know if LeBron will be there for the tournament. So,
well, they are playing in Vegas. So, I mean, I would not be surprised if LeBron showed up.
Me neither.
You would just have to see the NBA schedule. But last question for you. Who do you got winning the ACC? Because that is a wild, wild tournament. I'll speak on the ACC real quick since I've watched them all year. It's a good conference. It's one of the best conferences in basketball for a reason.
It's up in the air, honestly, for me.
North Carolina is definitely a favorite. Duke is a good favorite. I would say a dark horse team to watch. There are two teams I'd watch for. So, Xander, remember these two teams when you're watching for watching ACC basketball and you're trying to figure out who's gonna win. Watch Clemson. Because they were really good all year.
Yeah, and Clemson earlier in the season actually upset UNC. So,
and watch Syracuse.
Yep. Syracuse is always
one dark horse team from that starts today. Watch NC State.
NC State, huh?
The teams from North Carolina are really good this year. So the Tar Heels, Wake Forest, Duke, NC State, they're all really good. So I would definitely make sure you watch out for them. So that'll be a name to definitely. Those will be some names to make sure you watch for. And then, you know, I'm of course watching the AAC.
Right.
I'm interested to see what happens in the AAC. Does Charlotte do anything? Do they not? So Charlotte plays. Let's see. When do they play? What seed do they have? Ooh. Okay, Charlotte has the number 3 seed in the tournament. So they could do something here. So you never know. But they start Wednesday. Do I think Charlotte's going to actually win? No. Will I be rooting for them? Yes. Yes, I will.
Yes, so, sir. You and your good friend Jackson.
Yeah, the senior. Hey, do you think... All right, do you think Wichita State has a shot? We saw them play in person.
We did. I think they do. Don't really know much about the conference.
Yeah.
But they're here and there make the tournament. So I could see it.
Yep. I mean, and then Big Ten basketball, give me the Buckeyes. They should be Ohio State should be the one to beat. But
I mean, yeah, that's also another interesting one too. But
we'll bring up more Big Ten basketball in a minute or so. But we're gonna go to break real quick, and we'll be right back with you in just a quick second. Stay with us.
Mr. Worldwide to infinity, you know the roof on fire. We gon' boogie, oogie, oogie, jiggle, wiggle, and dance like the roof on fire. We gon' drink drinks and take shots until we fall out like the roof on fire. Now, baby, get my booty naked, take off all your clothes and light the roof on fire. Tell them, baby, 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 I'm on fire. I tell them, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
Welcome back to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
You know, I'll tell you, man, NFL is going wild. We just had some more news released. Vikings have signed two players this morning. We'll get into that in a little bit. But we're going to stick on the basketball route because that is a whole wild thing. So we'll see where that goes. Xander, turn me up a little bit on the mic.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
We're going to talk women's basketball, what we will do, but what I want to do really quick before we do that, we were trying to talk... There we go. That's perfect.
All right.
I was trying to talk a little Big Ten basketball before we went to break. I gave the prediction that I think Ohio State will win. If they don't win... You gotta say it's probably gonna be Purdue or Illinois. I'd say a dark horse team would definitely have to be Wisconsin. They've been a really good team all year long.
I'm gonna choose this, and this is kind of coming out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
I'm going Northwestern.
There you go.
I like that team, and I think they definitely have a team where they've pulled off an upset against Purdue before, and I think they can easily do it again. And I think they could make it to the very end. So,
yeah, so the schedule for today is what I wanted to go over. We have a lot of tournaments starting today and some finishing. So the first game, 10:30 a.m. Central Time, the Davidson Wildcats against Fordham. The first round, the Atlantic 10. 11:30 Central Time, Oklahoma State UCF, first round, Big 12. 1 o'clock Central. So every time it's gonna be 1 o'clock. Every time it's gonna be Central. 1 o'clock. George Washington versus LaSalle, Atlantic 10. Georgia Tech Notre Dame. 1 o'clock. ACC first round. West Virginia Cincinnati. 2 o'clock. Big 12. St. Louis versus Rhode Island. First round Atlantic 10. Louisville NC State first round ACC. American East semifinals, Vermont, New Hampshire. Vermont's had a really good team this year.
Yeah, I mean,
but here's the finals. I think that's these are the ones I really wanted to focus on were the finals. The Horizon League, Milwaukee and Oakland.
Ooh, Oakland, former Dennis Gates knows that team very well.
That he does. CAA, Stony Brook versus Charleston.
All right.
Some of the semifinal games. So American East, I said New Hampshire, Vermont was one of the semifinals. The other American East is Bryant and UMass Lowell. So give me Vermont. I don't know any of the other teams.
Pretty sure. I thought did Vermont make it last year?
I believe they did.
I'm pretty sure they did.
So. Another final, the Northeast Conference, Wagner and Merrimack, and let's see here. I think the one everybody's waiting for is the 8 o'clock game, the West Coast Conference, Gonzaga, St. Mary's.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure those two teams have basically been the finals matchup for the past 5 years.
Well, I'm with you there.
I mean, it's crazy that every year it's just these two teams in the very end. And, I mean, it just shows you that those two teams are literally the powerhouses of the West Coast Conference. So, mm-hmm.
And then the Summit League Championship, the final, Denver University against the South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
University of Denver, huh?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right.
Hey, give me those Jackrabbits.
Yeah, I'm going to Jackrabbits,
too. They're really good in the tournament.
They're good. There they go.
They always play well in the tournament, so we'll see how they do.
I'll tell you, that Summit League is very impressive, and especially with the Oral Roberts going all the way to the Elite Eight. That 1 year was the most insane thing I think I've ever seen. And not only, I mean, it made
I'm with you.
It made me a little mad because it completely busted my entire bracket.
Well, yeah.
But it was cool to see.
Yeah, next week you and I get to talk brackets and fill
that'll
out.
That'll be fun.
We fill out our bracket and we talk about it
next
Tuesday morning. So that'll be a lot of fun because that'll be our last episode before spring break.
Spring break, so, and I'm pretty sure either that Tuesday or I think actually that Tuesday we will have our show. I'm pretty sure that's when the first four starts. So for March Madness,
I believe so.
It starts because Thursday is when it actually the first round starts.
Yeah. So it should start then. We'll be able to talk all about it. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And you know, I'm getting excited. You know, it's a great time to talk about college sports. College basketball, particularly, a lot of great teams, a lot of great conferences. I'm excited for the Big Ten tournament. SEC tournament should be fun, as long as Mizzou doesn't play like Mizzou. but if they do, I will be watching ACC basketball.
Yes, so I'll be watching Mountain West.
Right. So you know, we have our outlets of getting away from Mizzou basketball if we have to.
Correct.
We will actually shift now into women's college ball. I'm just going to go conference by conference real quick of who is in the tournament. UT Martin, Chattanooga, Notre Dame won the ACC, Richmond won the Atlantic 10, USC won the Pac-12, Presbyterian won the Big South, Marshall, Sun Belt. And then, you know, some of them are not done yet. Like, a lot of these tournaments are not finished yet. For instance, the Big 12, they finished today in Kansas City. So, the Big 12 bracket, will the Texas Longhorns win or will the Iowa State Cyclones win? So that's the type of thing, but we all know who we want to talk about.
I think we've been waiting for this one.
Caitlin Clark. Iowa Hawkeyes won their tournament. Big Ten champs.
Had to do it in overtime to Nebraska. Let me tell you, Nebraska was a great team this year, and I mean, I'm pretty sure they would make March.
Clark at 34.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
34, 7 rebounds, 12 assists, 44 minutes on the floor. This is the third time she played Nebraska this year. 19th time in her career.
And her last.
And her last time playing Nebraska. this was Caitlin's stats for the tournament. They played... they played Penn State. They won 95-62. She had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists.
Doesn't shock me.
They went to the semifinal. They played Michigan. They won 95-68. 28 points, 4 rebounds, 15 assists. And then, like I said, they played Nebraska 34-7-12. She's a monster for a reason.
I mean, she is literally the Steph Curry of right now, like a girl version of Steph Curry. I mean,
she's 6 foot, scoring 30 something points,
hitting shots from basically the logo.
Logo.
That's it's insane, and I'm actually like we've been saying, I'm really excited to see what her WNBA career is going to be ahead
of her.
You
and me both.
And, like, seeing her and then people like Sabrina as well, it's going to be insane.
Yeah, Paige Bueckers and UConn won the Big East.
That one doesn't shock me as well. They usually
they're
make
not getting enough credit, I don't think. UConn's a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, they usually always are when it comes to both basketball teams.
Bueckers had 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. She's coming back next year for UConn, so if they don't, I mean, they don't do anything this off during the tournament this year. They got another shot. They have another shot next year. UConn's always been a really good team in women's basketball, so I definitely watch out for them in the tournament. If Bueckers is rolling, you're going to be in some trouble.
But I think there's one game that I think we should probably get to now.
Yeah.
That was the talk of the town.
It definitely was. I mean, we're an SEC school, so we definitely were talking a lot about it.
Not only that, but there's a team in there that currently, as of right now, still hasn't lost a game, and probably are favorites right now to win it all.
Oh, they're my favorite to win it all, and they're one of my favorite teams to watch. They're that fun to watch. But the team they beat is a lot of fun to watch.
Too.
Has a lot of talent, and with what happened in this game, and we'll get into this in a second, but I'm just going to tell you this, Xander. With what happened in this game, I'd be very, very scared to play them in the tournament.
Oh, absolutely. Both of them.
They are angry. They are rolling. They have vengeance now.
Yep. Now they're playing for something.
LSU has something to play for now.
No. Oh.
And
well, they're the reigning champs, so I mean, they're going to try to do it again.
Well, because they got punched in the mouth to start the season when they lost to Colorado.
Yep.
And now, I mean, we'll hear it from Kim Mulkey in a minute, but they're ready to go. So I'm telling you, you play LSU, you play South Carolina, I don't know what, but I'd be scared to play them. They both have a really good team. I could see either of them winning the whole thing.
They could see each other, depending on how the bracket is set up.
Just depending on how the bracket lays out. And I'll pull that up in a second on what that's looking like. I'll pull that up right now. As of right now, South Carolina would be in the top left portion of the bracket. Iowa would be a number one seed in the top right. So South Carolina, Iowa, Stanford. LSU would have to beat Stanford. That'd be the number one seed they'd have to beat if they wanted to make it all the way back. They'd actually be hosting, so they'd host in Baton Rouge. So LSU gets home court advantage for the first round of games. I know if I have the opportunity, I'm going to go see South Carolina play in Columbia. You and I got to go to Columbia, so I mean, you've seen it.
I've seen the stadium, but I haven't seen the
women's team
play there yet. So
yeah, it's same stadium,
same thing, same
stadium,
stuff.
Just different players. So you know, I mean, they're both scary teams to watch, but I mean, I'm excited. This tournament's gonna be a lot of fun. Ohio State, now that's the team to watch. And the reason I bring that up is because they are projected to be in the same side of the bracket as South Carolina. So on this top left, you've got some really good teams. You've got South Carolina. You've got Virginia Tech, who had a great year all year long. You've got Louisville, Oregon State, Ohio State, and North Carolina, who's pulled some upsets out of their pocket every once in a while. So those are the big four, big five teams I'd watch. Iowa would have to go through Colorado and UConn to get to the Final Four and UCLA. So I'd be excited to watch a UConn-Iowa throwdown in the Elite Eight. Stanford has to go through LSU, Notre Dame, you know, big teams. They got to beat out if they want to get on. USC, I'm not seeing a San Diego State. Are they not really good at women's basketball?
Well, in the past they haven't, but they just had their back-to-back 2021 season. They are currently a 7 seed right now in the tournament, but they are currently in the semifinals this year. They are, I think they play today, actually.
Okay, well, I guess they have to.
But I will say the top.
They have to win to get in.
Oh, they will. They will have to win, for sure. And I'm pretty sure usually in the past with that division, it's always been UNLV. UNLV has always been like the best team in the Mountain West when it comes to women's basketball. So
would not
shock me at all if UNLV comes out on top. But, hey, we'll see. Maybe they'll pull off an upset.
Yeah, we'll see. But all right, let's get to it because I'm going to stop avoiding it now and actually talk about it because, you know, I was trying to give us a little bit more time. Gamecocks. They won the SEC 32-0, 79-71 over LSU. Camilla Cardoso was the leading scorer for the Gamecocks. She was the leading scorer of the game. She had 8 points.
Wow. That's not a lot.
No, it's not. Angel Reese, let's see here. So what's funny is that it says she's the leading scorer when she was not.
That's strange.
It is strange.
I don't think 8 points should get you a top scoring spot.
It's not.
Unless it was so low scoring.
Let me reset the lineup then for you. For LSU, Angel Reese had 15.
Okay.
Haley Van Leith had 14. And the leading scorer for LSU was Anissa Morrow. So Anissa Morrow had 19. That was their leading scorer. For South Carolina, Fulwiley. So Malaysia Fulwiley, the freshman guard.
Wow.
Had 24.
That's
in her SEC tournament final debut.
That's
24.
It's a good way to start.
She was
as a freshman
off the bench. She was 8 of 12, scored 20 off the bench. I mean, she played that good. She was one of the players that got to stay in the game.
Yeah. Oh.
So
and here we go.
Yeah, we're gonna get into it now. We had 6 players ejected.
Weren't both benches gone, basically? They all had to go to the locker room?
Yeah, I'll explain this.
It was an ugly scene.
I was going to explain this in a second.
And I mean, this is something you really don't
want to
see.
So what ended up happening was Camilla Cardoso was the one who caused this whole thing to really happen. Anyway, Malaysia Fulwiley, who I just talked about, Fulwiley from the bench. She stole the ball from Flajay Johnson, a guard from LSU. Stole it from Johnson, got an intentional foul because she decided to steal it. So she was going to go on fast break. Johnson said, no, you're not. I'm going to foul you right now. So,
I mean, if you think about it, you kind of, where the game was, it was 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. You couldn't really let them score. I kind of understand the intentional foul, but I think it was a little more than what kind of they bargained for.
That's basically exactly
what happened.
Yeah, but the intentional foul happened. Then Johnson would basically shove South Carolina's Ashlyn Watkins. And then Camilla Cardoso saw that and said, you're not going to shove my teammate like that. So 6'7", Cardoso ran over to 5'10", Flajay Johnson, and made her
basically
leave her feet and decked her. So then benches cleared. People ran over.
I think people... It was
Flajay Johnson's brother jumped out of the stands, jumped
that.
Over the scorer's table, and got on the court.
The police
he
had to get
has
involved.
Been arrested.
Yep.
He briefly made contact with Cardoso before he was led away. the police records show that he remains in jail.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yes, so he's still in jail.
So probably still waiting his trial.
But due to NCAA rules, Cardoso is going to miss South Carolina's next game.
Like it should. I mean,
But Cardoso was ejected for fighting.
Yep.
Three of her teammates were thrown out for leaving the bench area. So South Carolina finished the game with six players, LSU with five. The players that were ejected for South Carolina were Chloe Kitts, Tessa Johnson, Sakima Walker, and then for LSU, because they only had two bench players.
Right.
Was Aaliyah Del Rosario and Janaya Kent. So, you know, it was something. Cardoso went out on Twitter after the game, said that, and this was her tweet, she said, "I would like to extend my sincerest apologies for my actions during today's game. My behavior was not representative of who I am as a person or the South Carolina program, and I deeply regret any discomfort or inconvenience it may have caused. I take full responsibility for my actions, and I assure you that I am committed to conducting myself with the utmost respect and sportsmanship in the future." So Cardoso trying to right the wrongs of what happened. But yeah, the rule book says that players ejected for fighting will be suspended for the team's next game, including tournament competition.
So she'll be out.
She's out for the next game, but she will be back if South Carolina can win their first round game. Cardoso will be back. So that'll be something to watch. Hopefully, if I get to go, I see Cardoso. She's one of the best players in the country. She's expected to be one of the top picks in the WNBA draft. But I think you'll understand. You'll see what I'm talking about in a second. I have the post game press conferences from both coaches. We'll listen to Kim Mulkey first. That's LSU's coach. So I cannot use her entire interview, but I'm going to use this little part here that I found absolutely hilarious, and I want you to tell me what you think.
Okay.
When you listen to this, how much of a character do you think Kim Mulkey is?
I already know what kind of a character she is, but yeah.
All right, you ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. This is Kim Mulkey after the game talking about the fight.
It's ugly. It's not good. No one wants to be a part of that. No one wants to see that ugliness. But I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid that you 6'8". Don't push somebody that little.
I think it's over.
Yep, it's done. I don't care anymore.
Okay, we're good. So there was that.
I really hope that didn't play over our.
I think it did.
Nothing we can do about that.
Because of that, what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to bring up Kim Mulkey one more time.
Okay,
just
that's fine.
In case. Because that is such. It was such a character moment. Here we go.
It's ugly. It's not good. No one wants to be a part of that. No one wants to see that ugliness. But I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid that you 6'8". Don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion. Let those two girls that were jawing, let them go at it.
Reed.
So that was Kim Mulkey, and then we're going to quickly go into Dawn Staley because she has a two-minute quote. But it is a good quote. I love Dawn Staley. She's my favorite women's basketball coach for a reason.
We actually, when we were down in South Carolina at the men's game, she was actually there.
I know, I wanted to go take a photo with her, but, you know, we couldn't do that.
Yeah, we can't anyway. Do that as the journalist.
Here you go. This is Dawn Staley after the game.
What you saw were two teams, highly competitive teams, try to win a conference championship. And they did not handle it well. Our players didn't. Their players didn't. And it escalated. And, I want to thank the officials and everybody that jumped in and just kind of calmed the situation down. And then the penalties were what they were.
Technical difficulties for the moment. We apologize for this. I don't know if we'll be able to get that back in time. But anyway,
player.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. Hey, there it is.
Somebody won't ever hear if I didn't say anything. And she's not. She's a really good person. Things just got escalated. I'll take responsibility for what happened from our side of it, which is we don't, you know, we talk about these things as a, you know, as a team, and we try to, as much as possible, express to them how not to react in those type of situations. But real time is real time. And I know that, you know, anybody, Camilla, as well as the other four or five players that were ejected, I know if they had a chance to do it all over again, they would do it differently. But now we have that. I just don't want the people who are tuning in to women's basketball see that and think, you know, that is our game, because it isn't. Our game is a really beautiful thing. And to be quite honest, this is a part of it now. So we have to fix it, and we have to move on.
And so, wise words from Don Staley, and I agree 100%. Women's basketball is a beautiful game. It is great. But fights are going to happen.
There's emotions run wild. It seemed like kind of an unfortunate accident. One thing kind of led to another, and then the shove happened, and everything just went absolutely crazy. So.
Exactly. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to break, and then we will bring in the free agent frenzy, because, oh boy, do we have a lot to break down in the last 30 minutes of this show.
The NFL was running wild yesterday. So.
And it's running wild this morning as well. So we'll be right back. We're going to get a break, and we'll be right with you. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I'm Xander Kobold.
You're listening to Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I'm Xander Kobold.
Jesus, you are really good at your name now.
Yeah, I think it's done.
It is done. I think it's over. That's in the past. Briefly, we'll bring up Mizzou football real quick before we get into the wide and crazy world of the NFL. Mizzou does have a new transfer quarterback. The ex-Arizona State and Notre Dame quarterback Drew Pine will now be the backup to Brady Cook for the next few years. I think it's maybe 1 or 2 years Pine has left.
I believe it's 2 years of eligibility left. So
yeah, so that'll be good.
I think honestly, he is probably the future.
Yeah, he basically is because Sam Horn is not.
Not our future.
Not working out right
he
now.
He should stick to baseball.
He should. And the spring game is Saturday, so the black and gold game. So, Mizzou fans, you want to go see your Tigers play in action again. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Faro Field, free admission. Xander, what are you most excited to see?
Honestly, just most excited to see the new guys, new recruits out there, see how the defense kind of lines up with a new defensive coach. And one thing that people honestly might be surprised to hear is I want to see that new kicker.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I definitely want to see the new kicker. I've seen the highlights of him. He looks really good. He's kicking a lot. He's kicking from far distances out like Mivas does. So we should be good. I'm most excited just to see the guys back out on the field. I want to see Lou and all those boys playing football again, so it'll be fun. It'll be good to see. But all right, here we go. NFL. We had a wild day. At one point, I had written down every single move that had happened throughout yesterday.
I do not think we're going to have enough time to.
We don't, and that's why I got rid of half of them. So just know that whatever we talk about today, there was probably like 30, there's probably like 15, 20 other moves that happened.
Yeah.
Some of them we'll only bring up briefly. Some of them we will
talk a little bit
actually
about.
Get a little bit more in depth with. First one we'll talk about is T. Higgins. He was franchise tagged by the Bengals, and now Higgins has requested a trade. I know there are a lot of teams trying to work out a deal to get Higgins on their roster. I know the Panthers are interested. The Jaguars are interested. But I haven't heard much from any other team so far. So that'll be something worth noting. Higgins is a really good player, great receiver, big receiver for that Bengals offense. So Burrow's losing guys. So we'll see what happens. Next up, Tony Pollard, the former Cowboys running back, signed a 3-year deal with the Tennessee Titans. So Pollard to the Titans. So Titans are replacing Derrick Henry with Tony Pollard.
That just confirms Derrick Henry is gone.
Yeah,
officially.
With Pollard's arrival, Henry is unlikely to return. He is favored right now to end up in Baltimore, which I am not.
You're not a fan of that, especially with another QB who is playing on signing with another division
we'll
rival
get there
team.
In a minute.
So we'll get there second.
Pollard signed a 3-year, $24 million deal. And so that'll be his first run with Tennessee. That should be an interesting look for the Titans. Tony Pollard, I mean, he doesn't really produce a lot. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, but he didn't really produce a lot last year. So
no, but so did the team,
well,
pretty much. I mean,
yeah, no.
except for
Dak
Hopkins.
Played well. We're talking Titans.
I'm sorry. Were you talking about Cowboys? Never mind. Yeah, no. They still had a great season. I mean, they still end up winning division 12-4.
Okay, now going to the Titans then. Will Levis played pretty well for a rookie quarterback.
I think he can definitely play a starting role next year.
I agree.
I don't think Ryan Tannehill is it.
Well, Tannehill's still on the market, so.
Yep.
Sticking in the running back category, DeAndre Swift.
That was a little surprising, actually.
Bounced from the Eagles to the Bears for a 3-year, $24.5 million deal with $15.3 million guaranteed. I didn't think he was going to go to Chicago. I thought he was going to end up with like more of a contender team. But
I mean, Chicago's going to get Caleb Williams.
Got a lot of guys coming in.
I'm telling you.
Quickly, go straight into the next one with that comment, and that's by saying Chicago reached a deal with 2-time All-Pro safety Kevin Byard. So
they're building.
The Bears are building, but the question still remains: what are they going to do with Justin Fields?
Well, clearly, you know, we were talking about
there's a team that needs a quarterback.
There is a team that needs a QB, and it actually isn't the Falcons now. Falcons are off the list, and we'll get to that here in a second.
I know.
But there's another team.
The Patriots need a
Patriots
quarterback.
Patriots need a QB. All I'm saying.
You never know. Jonathan Greenard has gone to the Vikings from the Texans. He has a 4-year, $72 million deal. So the Vikings are building, too.
They're building, too, as well. And that it actually doesn't shock me as well. Do you want to get to this already, or do you want to?
Not yet.
All right, sounds good. I'll let you go.
Not yet. Fletcher Cox retired. So,
oh man,
12 season career. He was one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
Oh, he was, and surprising to actually see him go already. I mean,
well,
but I get it. 12 seasons. You know, you knew his time was coming.
It a career for some reason. They're all done.
Yeah, I know.
All the Eagles are done. Kelsey's done. Fletcher Cox is done. But yeah, Fletcher Cox ends his career 70 sacks, 519 tackles, 173 quarterback hits, 8 tackles for loss, 16 forced fumbles, 14 fumble recoveries, and 3 of those recoveries he ended with him celebrating in the end zone. He was on the 2010s All-Decade team. Just a beast of a player. He was the 12th overall pick in the 2012 draft, and he played a key role in their first Super Bowl in 2017. So Farewell, Fletcher Cox. Michael Pittman, 3 years, $70 million. The Colts re-signing Michael Pittman. That's huge for the Colts. Anthony Richardson has his go-to guy again, who can come up big for him. That's a big one to talk about. Quickly, David Bakhtiari is leaving Green Bay. He's been released. That's a New York Jet now. It's not official, of course, and he has not been... He has not been linked to the Jets. He's not talked to the Jets. I just say that because he's besties with Aaron Rodgers, so I assume he'll be a Jet.
But did Aaron Rodgers not get released, though?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Aaron Jones. My bad.
Yes.
Different Aarons. It's early, guys.
It is early. The Panthers are building a fortress around Bryce Young, so they signed Robert Hunt, which, wow. 5 years. Look, they,
you can say that again.
Listen, Robert Hunt, a 5-year, $100 million deal for a guard.
That's so something.
So they're definitely building that wall around Bryce Young. They signed Robert Hunt, and then they also signed Damian Lewis to a 4-year, $53 million deal. So they're trying to build linemen all around Bryce Young. The only issue is he has to be able to actually see over the lineman to be able to throw the football.
Yeah, he's definitely not one of the tallest.
Gabe Davis from Buffalo's heading to Jacksonville. And you know who else is heading to Jacksonville? Mac Jones.
Mac Attack.
Yeah, so
Mac Jones.
The fall of Mac Jones is crazy. I still don't think it's right. I think he got messed up with in New England. Bill did not treat that situation right, I don't
think. No, he didn't. I don't think so either. And
I feel bad for Mac. He was a great quarterback coming out of
college.
Going to from Alabama.
His first two seasons weren't terrible.
No, they were pretty good.
They were pretty
honestly.
Good. This was actually his first year. He actually wasn't that good at all.
Right.
So going to be a backup now for the Jags.
Yeah, that he is. And then Baker Mayfield. Finally.
There you go.
Finally, finally, finally. Baker gets his deal. 3-year, $115 million.
Totally deserved.
We talked about this earlier this year, I think 2 weeks ago or something like that. Actually, it was last week.
Yeah, I think it was last show.
It was last show. You and I talked about how I wanted to make sure that Baker got a deal. $30 million guaranteed. Year one, another $10 million guaranteed in 25. So Baker finally getting the money he deserves. Hopefully, you know, he can keep up his playing style. I mean, he's played well. You just got to hope that he can continue playing well. I just hope the Bucs know that he won't win you a big game.
I mean, I know you gotta always remind him that, but I could still see him next year.
Maybe he's turned the page.
Maybe he can next year. Maybe finally he'll turn the page.
Yep.
We'll have to see.
I know, right? One of the bigger news was Christian Wilkins signing with the Raiders. So the Dolphins defensive tackle Christian Wilkins was free agent. He signed a 4-year, $110 million deal to go to the Raiders with $84.75 million guaranteed. Wilkins and Max Crosby on the same line is going to be ferocious.
Oh, man. I mean,
you have to play him twice. Justin Herbert's got to go against him twice.
Listen, man, I mean, I knew this was going to happen, and I had a feeling that the Raiders are definitely going to build up on their defense. But as of right now, their offense is very questionable. So
they are. They're very weird.
So I mean, either way, our division's still going to be pretty tough. I'll tell you one thing though.
Chris Jones is back. So and that's another thing I'll say. 5-year, $95 million deal. With 101, actually, scratch that. 5-year. $158.75 million deal with $101 million guaranteed. He is the, I think, this is the highest he's ever, like, the highest any D tackle. Yeah, he's the highest paid defensive tackle. So your division is tough, especially you got Chris Jones and the Chiefs, but buddy, my division's tougher.
Yep. Russell
Wilson is going to the Squealers. Good old Russ. Danger Russ heads over to the Squealers. It's an improvement from Kenny Pickett. I can guarantee you that.
I was going to say.
However, and let me just get this one thing out.
Go ahead.
It is an improvement from Pickett. I give you that. However, Russ is not the same Russ that he was.
No, this is a 2011
look,
Russ.
No, well, because the thing is, look, he will win you a game here and there. I can guarantee you that. We all know that.
Oh,
we
yeah.
know he will win
oh, yeah.
you a game here and there.
And he had a decent season last
he
year.
He also will cost you a game here and there.
Yep.
I just got to hope the game he costs is against the Browns.
but, of course, with your luck, probably not.
Well, you know, it goes back to me saying once again that the Browns playing the toughest division in football.
Yep.
If you look at the quarterbacks from every team, here the Browns have Deshaun. They got to face off against Russ with the Steelers, Lamar with the Ravens, Joe Burrow with the Bengals. I mean, it's never ending. So, I mean, it's all over the place. And it is the toughest division in football for a reason. Speaking of the Browns, Jerry Jeudy heading to the Browns from Denver. Yeah, I think it's a really
good
pickup.
That's a great pickup.
It's a good pickup. He has not played well. I will admit that. He has not played well for Denver. Jeudy had a terrible year with Denver. He's not good. He was not good with Denver.
He was not like Sutton.
He was basically a bust.
Yep.
He drops the ball a lot. So I'm going to say this now. Come now, I'm going to preach him. Come September, I may be cursing him. But we will see. That depends on whether he drops the ball or not in a very game-clinching scenario. For now, this is a new opportunity. I'm very excited for Jerry Jeudy.
As
the Browns
most
have been
Browns
wanting him for
be.
A long time. The Browns have wanted him for a while. They tried to get him at the trade deadline this past season, and they couldn't get him at the time. So, because they tried to get him for like a first-round pick or something like that, and they actually ended up getting him for like a fifth and a sixth. So, good compromise, Browns. Good job, boys. Good job, my front office. Clap that up for you guys. All right. The other team I like to support a lot, Falcons.
Kirk Cousins.
Cousins left the Vikings. He's heading to the Atlanta. Falcons finally have a quarterback. 4-year deal with the Falcons. It's worth $180 million, $45 million per season, $100 million guaranteed. The thing about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, and this is my perspective on it. Give me yours after I say this.
Go ahead.
It works. It's not the scheme that they typically will run. They've got a very... So the thing with the Falcons is they've got Cordarrelle Patterson, like they have Bijan,
yep.
Robinson. I mean, they have a quick, fast moving like RPO style offense. That's not Kirk Cousins' style. However, they are young. They need a veteran, and this is the perfect quarterback for them to have that veteran in that locker room and help them get to where they want to go.
I mean, honestly, if you're looking for any veteran, he's there. He's there for the job. He would be my pick too. It was kind of interesting. They did not fall for the Justin Fields trade there.
Well, I think they tried, and then I think they didn't want to give up what they were asking for.
Too much. It was too much for the offer.
That's what I think. Because I have not been able to fully figure it out.
Kirk Cousins is still a solid pickup, and again, the team is young.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they can finally like give the ball to some of their young guys, especially Drake London.
Kyle Pitts. Give him the football.
Give him the ball, man. It was so tough watching Ridder not. Or Bijan. Literally any of those guys. I mean, I'm telling you, they're stacking up right now. They're looking like a great young team, and I could see them making a little bit of a run for it, but we're just going to have to see how kind of Cousins plays in general, because we all know Cousins.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, the Patriots made a lot of moves yesterday.
Just like many teams.
I know, but they were one of the teams that made one of the more moves than others. Antonio Gibson, free agent who played for the Commanders last season, is now going to be their head running back, because their head running back was Ezekiel Elliott, and he is a free agent as well. So the Patriots have a new running back with Antonio Gibson. That leaves room for a Commander to have a new running back spot. Well, who took that? The former Charger, Austin Eckler. So here's what I want to ask you. What are the Commanders getting in Austin Eckler, and what is the Chargers losing?
Well, you see, the Commanders, when they pick up someone like this, they're missing someone with a lot of talent that I wish was still on our team. And unfortunately, he dealt with a lot of injuries, and about two seasons ago, when the Chargers made it to the wild card season, Eckler basically was one of the reasons why they made it. I mean, my goodness, he was putting up numbers, and I think he had over 20 plus touchdowns running wise. I mean, whenever there was a goal line stand and they needed someone to score, it's just handed off to Eckler. He'd get it into the end zone. So they're going to get a player with a lot of fight and a lot of grit on that team, and that's what the Chargers are going to be losing. But they'll be losing someone who may not have performed as well as I thought he was going to perform this year. And to be fair, the Chargers didn't really perform at all this season. Everything went wrong for them, but which led to lots of coaching changes and GM changes and staff changes. But you know, I think they'll be missing some guy who helped out the team and put up a lot of fight.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Chargers are definitely going to be missing Eckler a little bit,
but
at least, not a lot.
But I'll be honest, for the Commanders, I think for Eckler, I know he'll take the money, but I think that's a little bit of a downgrade for him.
You lose Eckler, but you gain Gus Edwards.
And I'm actually happy about that.
Now, Gus Edwards is a good running back when he stays healthy. Edwards is coming from the Ravens, so I've seen a fair share of Gus Edwards over the past few years.
Give me a little bit of a rundown for me.
Yeah, so Edwards, I mean, he's been their main back since 2018, basically.
Right.
I mean, he shared the backfield with Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. Dobbins, as you know, keeps getting hurt. he's also a free agent. But Edwards was the primary back last year. For Baltimore, he had 13 touchdown runs. He fell one shy of tying the Ravens' single season franchise record. He averaged 4.1 yards per carry. He's run for 3,395 yards in his total career. So I mean, he's a good back. You're getting a good back from him. I'm glad he's out of the division, so I don't have to deal with him anymore, so I'm happy about that. It's a two-year, $6.5 million contract with the Chargers. $3.375 million is guaranteed. So you get Gus Edwards. Good luck.
Yep, I'm just hoping.
That's the best thing I can tell you. Good luck. Hope he stays healthy for you.
Yep.
That's about all I can tell you. I'll quickly go over a few other ones before I want to break down certain ones. Xavier McKinney has gone to the Packers on a four-year deal. Jeff Okuda has gone to the Texans on a one-year. Things for about the Browns real quick. Browns are losing. One of my favorite players has gone to the Patriots. Goodbye, Sione Taki-Taki. You will be forever remembered.
Forever remembered.
As a Brown.
Best, my opinion. In my opinion, I think it's the best name in the NFL.
I agree. Sione Taki-Taki is gone. He's gone. He's a two-year deal. He's now gone to the Pats. Patriots replaced Mac Wilson with the absence of Mac Wilson with Sione Taki-Taki. Another thing for the Browns, Jordan Hicks. The Browns have signed, so that'll be. Hicks has been a guy the Browns have looked at for the past few years and have finally decided to pull the trigger on and got him. So that's something to keep an eye on. So we'll see how that does. Browns also re-signed Za'Darius Smith and Mo Hurst. So two big guys on the defense coming back for the Browns, so I'm happy about that. For my Chiefs fans who listen, Nick Allegretti, you know, he was supposed to play in the Super Bowl, got hurt, but he is going to Washington, so Allegretti will not come back to the Chiefs this year. And then, I'm sorry, Chiefs fans, you are losing your punter. You do not have Tommy Townsend anymore. He is going to Houston.
Oh, boo-hoo.
I know. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Tommy Townsend's gone. You can't cheer on the punter every time he runs on the field now when you go to Arrowhead.
Yep.
All right, but here we go. We're going to talk about the big ones. Gardner Minshew, Raiders quarterback now, going to battle with Aiden O'Connell. I expect Gardner would win that battle. I know the Raiders are interested in Justin Fields. They're the only team making a push for him right now.
I could see it.
I could, too.
But there's another team as well.
There is another team. And that's the Patriots, but yep. We haven't heard anything from them. The Bengals have cut Joe Mixon. They finally move on from Joe Mixon after a long time.
They're done. They're finally done.
They have signed Zach Moss instead. Aaron Jones was released from the Packers, and the Packers signed Josh Jacobs, and it was announced this morning that Aaron Jones has signed with the Vikings. The Vikings have also signed Sam Darnold this morning to take Kirk Cousins' place as
good old,
of right now.
Oh, boy. Sam Darnold.
But then the two I want to finish on, the big story to me is Saquon. The Giants, and here's what they did. The Giants basically gave up Saquon for Devin Singletary. Now, Singletary is an underrated back. I will admit that. But losing Saquon to a division opponent, too, is wild.
It shocked me, honestly. I mean, it didn't shock me because we all knew that he had been there. He had been talked around the league, and I felt like his time with the Giants was coming to an end, but
yeah,
to this division, I mean,
I know
that makes no sense.
Giants
doing Giants things.
Giants got Singletary now. They lose Barkley. Barkley got a 3-year, $37.75 million contract from the Eagles. That's worth up to $46.75 million. So it is. It's a lot. You know, good for them. Good for Saquon. I mean, I've always been a great
man. I'm rooting for him.
I love
him, honestly.
Saquon. He's one of my favorite players in the league. Why not? He has to be. You know, he's one of the best players in the league. He deserves what he's getting. Hopefully, it goes well with the Eagles. Eagles got a really great back. If they can, Saquon better learn how to do a tush push though.
Yep. And then he better learn.
Oh man, I've been dreading this. I did not want to have to do this, but I'm going to have to do it. I talked to you last time on the air how I was so upset that I was making sure the Panthers franchise tagged Brian Burns and how I wanted them to keep him and get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Burns has been traded to the New York Giants. I'm going to play a little remembrance song of Brian Burns as I talk about him.
Sad day.
Sad day for all Panthers fans.
5-year, $150 million deal for Brian Burns. He's getting $76 million guaranteed. Panthers will get second and fifth round picks. And then, of course, they won't be. None of these become official until tomorrow at, I believe, noon Eastern time, 11 a.m. here. Oh man, 27 sacks, but let's just blast this real quick. Brian Burns, I love you, man. Goodbye. You will forever be remembered by me as a Panther. I'm gonna miss seeing Spider-Man on that field. But now Brian Burns will now join Kayvon Thibodeau, and the Giants are beefing up that defense.
They really are.
So that's a scary defense. That division is going to be fun to watch.
It will be, and I'm. Let me tell you, I'm really excited.
If the Giants can figure out their quarterback situation, they're going to be a good team. They'll be a contender. But that's basically all the news from yesterday. Nothing else has really come out this morning. What I did want to bring up were the available free agents still. So some of the big names that are still out there. Danielle Hunter from the Vikings, Patrick Queen, Derrick Henry, Calvin Ridley, Devin White, Stephon Gilmore, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Marquise Hollywood-Brown, Levante David, Jadeveon Clowney, Curtis Samuel, D.J. Reader, Bobby Wagner, Darnell Mooney, Eric Armstead, and then the big one, Chase Young, is still out there. So
those are some big guys.
There are a lot of big guys names still out there, still available. We'll see what happens over the next few days. It is 8:59, so we're going to have to get off the air pretty soon. So next week when we get back to our show, we'll do our final show next week before spring break, before we come back. We will talk men's conference basketball tournaments. We'll break down the NCAA tournament, who we think will win. We'll break down our brackets. We will talk any other deals that have happened. Hopefully the Chargers and Browns do something, pull off a really big move.
Please. That's all I'm asking.
And then we'll probably talk mock drafts too, because we're going to start getting into that. But until then, my name is Trey Vettler.
And I am Xander Cobold.
Goodbye, Brian Burns.
Play it again. Play it out.
All right. We'll see you next time.
See you next time, guys.
And make it okay. I miss you.